Now, let's move on. 20 past 10, the police have put out more than £135 million to settle claims by former officers who said their hearing was damaged during the course of their duties. Nearly half of that bill, over £65 million, was for legal fees. James Craig is on the line. Morning to you, James.
Good morning, Stephen.
Thank you for contacting us. Now, you're a former police officer.
I am.
And you put in one of these claims. Why have you written to us?
I was absolutely incensed at the time I put the claim in. I did not go in at the very start. I put the claim in some 6 years after I had retired, 5 or 6 years later. And the chief constable's defence to my claim was that I had never actually served in the Royal Ulster Constabulary. That basically was what he said. So the solicitors and so forth have been on and said they putting up a defence that just doesn't wash, all it does is create costs for the legal people, because my solicitor then had to turn around and start and prove that I did serve, and they had to...
So you had to prove you were in the police?
Yes, I did.
Is that not a standard legal procedure, though?
I don't know. I have never come across it before, and presumably one would have to prove that they were actually alive at the time that a particular incident took place, if that's what...
So you had to prove... You had to prove you were in the police, because you say in your email that one of the chief constable's defences in relation to your claim was that he denied that you were ever a member of the RUC.
That's correct.
Right? But you actually got injured on duty.
Yeah, I was shot twice.
I'm not laughing at you being shot. I'm laughing at the...
At
the situation of, you have to prove you were a member of the... Surely that's just a...
That's right. The defendant denies that from 1969 until 2001, the plaintiff served as aforesaid in the Royal Ulster Constabulary.
And even if that is a standard legal procedure, it's costing money to get through that red tape rigmarole.
Exactly. Now, we had members of the policing board on complaining about this. At the time I got that letter, that was over Christmas 2007, I complained and I was incensed. I wrote to my solicitor about it and I went public on it. And the Belfast Telegraph carried a series at that stage about it. And the policing board are bound to have seen, or somebody on the policing board is bound to have seen that and said, look, what is the point in going down this road? Because presumably once the proofs are there, yes, I served, and yes, I was injured in the manner in which I alleged, what's the point in turning around and denying that I ever existed? It is total madness. All that does is put up costs.
Can I ask you how your hearing was affected? What happened to you?
I was described by the doctor who examined me on my side, shall we say. I was described as having a significant hearing loss.
But what happened? What caused it?
It would have been using firearms without ear defenders. At that stage, we would have done our firearms training down in Enniskillen. And no ear defenders were supplied whatsoever. So the crack of the discharge of the weapon apparently is what does the damage whenever you're young. Now, I was 20. So that is the type of thing. And I think they're discovering the same sort of thing now with youngsters who are going to discos and so forth at an early age with loud music. So the same type of thing happened there. And that is what causes the problem. It's this happening at an early stage, and then it develops after that. So I was, as I say, described as having a significant hearing loss. And whenever the chief constable's side then said, no, we don't believe that, they called me to another specialist, and he said it was actually worse than that. So what was the point in it, to be quite frank about it?
You say you were shot twice.
Yeah.
What happened?
Shot in the head in an ambush.
Shot in the head?
Yeah, twice.
So how are you still here?
There must be somebody up there who took a liking to me.
Are you comfortable telling us about
the
ambush?
Yes, I have no problem with it, yeah.
What happened?
I was called to a burglary, or I took a call to a burglary, and instead of it being a burglary, the Provisional IRA had taken over a house on the opposite side of the street. And whenever I went and knocked the door, guy shot me in the head, and two bullets hit me in the head.
And when that happens to you, what way does your brain work? Do you...
Well, in my case, unconscious, blind, paralysed, unable to walk, unable to talk. I had to learn to walk, talk. It took me a year to get back to work again. And about 3 days after I started back to work, there was a series of incidents were happening in the station that I was attached to, and I was asked would I put uniform on and go back out onto the street, and it was a big step going out through the gate that day. But I did it, and once I got over that, then I continued with a career that was totally shattered.
Does it haunt you?
Yeah, I would still have flashbacks. I have the repercussions of it, and it does cause problems. I've still got physical difficulties, and whilst I don't mind talking about it, it's one of the things that it effectively changed my life. I have got used with it now because it happened more than half of my life ago, so to speak. So I have, for the last number of years, I've had to live with it, and you do get used to things. But at the end of the day, I would still wake up in the middle of the night sweating and memories and so forth coming back, and the what ifs are always there. What if I hadn't done this? What if I hadn't done that? If I hadn't taken the call, would the other vehicle have taken the call? And luckily enough, from my perspective, we had taken an armoured vehicle. The other vehicle wasn't an armoured one. So would two police officers have been killed instead of one wounded? And there's so many ifs and buts with it. And if the guy's aim had been better than it was, what would have been the result? There's so many imponderables.
And so with all of that context, did it hurt you when you had to prove you were in the police?
Very much so. Very much so. I can't accept this defence of denial. It didn't happen, it didn't happen, it didn't happen. You know, I appreciate that there's a lot of things have to be proved before a case goes to court. I was involved in the proving process virtually all my service. And you do have to prove basic things. But once these cases had started running, and I, as I say, I was not one of the first ones to lodge a case for hearing. Once they had started running, once the basic proofs were there, and all it required was somebody in personnel branch to turn around and say, yeah, that's him. He such and such happened. Yes, he was what he said he was. That's it.
Okay.
Go from there. You don't have to put that before a court.
James, we're going to leave it there, but thank you very much for talking
to
us. No
problem at all, Tim. Take care.
Thank you, sir.